Now, for the past few weeks, we have been talking about one word, and that word is boundaries. And 2 weeks ago, we addressed sexual boundaries. And last Sunday, my wife tag-teamed the message with me, and we talked about marriage boundaries. And of course, I've had more than one person suggest to me that perhaps we should switch roles, and she should be the preacher from now on because you guys enjoy that so much. How many appreciated Tracy joining me last week for marriage boundaries? That was fun. Right. Now, today we're going to continue this emphasis, except today our focus is going to be on kids. We're going to talk about kid boundaries. And I thought about making this an illustrated sermon and coming out dressed as Super Nanny. But then wisdom got the better of me, and I was reminded that the series is called Boundaries. So I decided not to break any boundaries there, okay? Now, some of you are saying, well, Pastor, this message is not for me. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you have kids living at your house right now? Raise your hand. How many of you used to have kids living at your house or want to someday? Raise your hand. How many have ever seen a child in your life? Raise your hand. All right. So this applies to everybody because kids are a part of all of our lives in some way, not just parents, right? Now, this message is for everyone. And our vision at our church is to be a family training center. We want to be a church where families are strengthened. Or regardless of what background you have or what your current family situation looks like, we just want to come alongside you as a church and strengthen you and help you and equip you. What does it mean to be a godly dad, a godly mom, a husband, a wife, and all of that? That's what we want to be as a church. That's our vision. Let me just go ahead and say right up front, too, that no family is perfect, including mine. I don't have perfect kids. You probably don't either. And so everything I'm about to share with you today is intended to encourage and to help, okay? So please don't let the enemy use this as any source of condemnation or guilt. You know, some of you already raised your kids. You're like, hey, I wish I'd have heard this 30 years ago. That's fine. Share it with somebody. Use it on your grandkids, all right? So I want you to receive it in the spirit that it's intended here today. Because how many know one of the greatest resources that we have is our kids? Right? And so we need to talk about this and have this conversation with everyone. And again, our goal in this entire series is just to be really, really practical in boundaries in the various areas of our life. And so I wanted to subtitle this message, How to Temporarily Be the Most Unpopular Parent on the Planet, but Eventually Become the Most Awesome Parent in the World. That's a little too long, so we go with kid boundaries, all right? Our theme verse for this series is Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But I love the New Living Translation version of this verse. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. How many know we could insert, when kids do not accept parental guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. And our big idea for this series, we keep coming back to this, is that God provides boundaries for us in both his commandments and our convictions to provide for us and to protect us. And so as we continue this conversation here today, we've got to remember that boundaries are God's idea. And they're particularly important for our kids, aren't they? That's a place for you to say yes, okay? Boundaries are particularly important for our kids. I think it's even more important now in 2017 because our culture more and more is saying kids don't need boundaries. I want you to watch a few clips from a movie called Parental Guidance that illustrates how this works out for a few families. Watch this.
Batter up!
Oh, this is that bully kid.
Ivan.
I would so like to see Turner strike him out.
Strike!
Strike one! Hey, he is really good. Yeah. He's really good. Way to go, Turner! Swing and a miss! Strike two! Woo-hoo!
Here's the pitch.
Strike three! You're out of there! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Turner, way to look! Whoa, blue, that's three strikes. One, two, three, out of there.
Time.
It's okay. This is my dad and he's new here.
Oh, okay. There are no outs in this game.
No outs? How was that possible?
They hit until they get on base.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Let me ask you something. I mean, how do you even know who's winning?
In this league, we don't keep score. Every game ends in a tie.
The old guy's right. It's boring.
You were out.
No, I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Turner, you struck him out.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You're out.
No, I'm not.
You're out.
No, I'm not.
Three strikes, you're out.
You're out!
No! Oh! Well, it's not boring anymore.
Now, do you have any special instructions for us, like what the kids like to do, what they like to eat?
Yes, Mom, great, thank you. First of all, they don't eat any sugar.
No Carvel? That's the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life.
We tried to introduce just a little bit of sugar, and it was like going off the rails of the crazy train. Oh my gosh.
And there's another subject I'd like to discuss.
Sure, anything.
Your language. You see, there's a way that we talk to our kids. For instance, where you would say no, we would say, consider the consequences. Or where you would say don't, we would say, maybe you should try this. See, that way the child feels that he has value, he has worth, he's heard.
It's a way.
I like them, Carl likes them, right, Carl?
And your opinion has value, and what's the other one? Worth. But I know from experience that wearing heels can be tricky, especially during recess. Wouldn't you and Carl both be more comfortable in sneakers?
No.
Hey, what's going on? We're gonna be late. Oh, it's Project Runway.
I tried handling it like Alice said, but it's not working.
All right, get the other two in the car. I'll handle this.
Artie?
It's okay. Let me try. Take off those shoes and I'll give you a dollar.
Five.
$2.50.
Deal.
All right. So this is your reminder. Don't negotiate with terrorists. You'll lose. Now, why does God provide boundaries for us? It's because he loves us. He wants to provide for us and he wants to protect us. And if we love our kids, we'll set up boundaries for them as well. And remember, boundaries is God's idea. He's the one that made the owner's manual of how life works. And remember, families are God's idea too. That's why he's our heavenly father. And so we're made in the image of God. Families are made in the image of God. And so in order for families to work, we need to follow the creator's instructions. The owner's manual, so to speak. And so there's some commands in scriptures when it comes to family. Let's look at a few from Proverbs. I love this one. Don't fail to discipline your children. They won't die. You're not going to die. You sound like you're going to die, but you're not going to die. All right? They won't die if you spank them. Punish them with the rod and save them from death. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 29, discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. And then verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself will bring shame. With no boundaries, the result is shame. And then this next verse, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Stupid's a mean word, but right there it is. And Solomon used it to describe people who don't give boundaries to their kids. Ouch. So time after time, scripture after scripture, parents are commanded to set up boundaries in their kids' lives. And Solomon says, enforce boundaries so that there are consequences when they violate the boundaries. He calls it discipline. So in the words of Dr. Henry Cloud, who wrote the book Boundaries for Kids, he says, if you're a parent, congratulations. You are engaged in one of the most meaningful jobs in the world. Although cleaning up spilled milk and arguing about dirty rooms may seem trivial, you are doing an eternally significant work, developing a little person into an adult. So all the parents said amen. So a smart parent is going to set up and enforce boundaries for your kids. Now, that means there are gonna be some times, mom and dad, when you drive your kids crazy. right? And there's going to be some times that they won't like you. Some of them may actually tell you that they hate you. But that's why it takes courage to be a parent. It takes courage to set up boundaries in your kids' lives. So I just want to encourage you right off the bat, parents, don't quit. Don't back off on this area. This is too important. This is too big of a deal. And I just want to, we're going to pray at the end of this message, and then we're going to dedicate some babies. But we're just going to pray for courage. God, give us courage to raise godly kids in this current culture. Now, why boundaries? Why do kids need boundaries? Well, remember, God designed them for boundaries. He designed us for boundaries. And so it's God's idea for kids to have boundaries because they're made in the image of God. I found this on parenting.com from Dr. Marianne Neifert. She says, structure and rules not only make child rearing easier, they're also essential. Trying to raise a responsible, cooperative child without age-appropriate boundaries is like trying to raise a goldfish outside its fishbowl. Far from squelching the spirit, rules are needed for kids to flourish. Now, this is not a Christian site. It's not a Christian source. But they're agreeing with what the Word of God says. And the reason I pulled this quote out is because it's exactly what I mentioned 2 weeks ago, what Tim Keller said in his book, Reason for God. He says, a lot of people think that Christianity is this set of rules, a straitjacket, so to speak. He goes, but people don't understand, you're designed for boundaries. He says, just like a fish is designed to live in water, inside the boundaries of water. And if it lives in the water, it's going to be okay. But when you take the fish outside of the water, it's going to struggle. Those are the natural boundaries created for the fish. And so this illustration is telling us that, listen, if we kids are designed for God, by God for boundaries, and without boundaries, kids will struggle like a fish out of water. Psychologists tell us that there's a lot of benefits for kids to have boundaries. Again, these are not biblical sources. This is psychologists telling us this, that boundaries help kids develop self-control. We want our kids to have self-control as children, and we want them to grow up to have self-control, right? And it develops security and safety, physical safety. How many know boundaries actually physically protect? But there's an emotional safety as well that kids need to feel. You're going to find when you do your research that kids who don't have boundaries are afraid a lot. And this is really ironic, isn't it, that kids need boundaries to have self-esteem. We look at the clip of the baseball game, don't keep score, everything ends in a tie. What actually is ending up happening is kids feel a sense of worthlessness, of no purpose. Boundaries give self-esteem. They also help with social interaction. I mean, kids need to learn etiquette, right? How to talk, how to be polite. And the science says that if they learn that as a child, it's going to help their relationships as adults. All right? So it's going to help their marriage in the future. It's going to help them with their own families. And then, obviously, in spiritual life, if kids don't have boundaries, how are they going to understand God? When God disciplines them, like the scripture says, he disciplines those he loves. And they're not going to see that as love. They're going to see that as hate. So kids without boundaries are going to reject God. This is important stuff. How many would agree with me so far? This is really important. Because without boundaries, if we don't set boundaries around our kids, the culture will raise our kids for us. And you're not going to like the result. Let me give you an illustration. Everybody knows the Fresh Prince, right? Will Smith and his wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. And 2010, there was lots of interviews and reports how he and his wife came out telling, you know, we have no rules for our kids at home, for their kids, Jaden and Willow. And so they said, we're going to treat our kids as little adults, and we're going to negotiate with them. And they get to set their own punishment. Fast forward to 2016. Will Smith does a interview with Vanity Fair, and the headline says, I think we have made a mistake. After his 17-year-old son started wearing dresses in 2015 and was recently named the new face of Louis Vuitton's women's wear campaign. Jaden, Will Smith's son, now defines himself as gender fluid. I watched his Instagram video yesterday where he said, "I am a failure." And he said, "Nothing about this life makes any sense." Kids need boundaries. They're wired for boundaries. They flourish with boundaries. Now, the longer I'm going to go in this message, the more popular I'm going to be with parents, and the less popular I'm going to be with kids. So parents, I need your help, right? Talk me up after service. You know, God bless Pastor Wayne. He's all, you know, just help me out, okay? And how many know we're in this together? I said we're all in this together, helping one another, encouraging one another in our relationship with God. So let's talk about three areas that kids need boundaries. And there are so many we could talk about. I've listed a list of resources that I recommend if you want to follow up and learn more about this. And matter of fact, I highly suggest that you do. This message is really not enough. Hopefully this will just get you started in learning and growing when it comes to setting boundaries for your kids. But let's talk about friends first, okay? How many know your kids need boundaries with the friends that they have? Matter of fact, the Bible says the friends that we have help determine the quality of our lives. Have you ever heard the statement, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future"? I think it applies to our kids as well. Show me your kids' friends and I will show you their future. This is important. Proverbs says in Proverbs 13, verse 20, walk with the wise and become wise. So have smart friends, I guess. Have wise friends. But look at what else he says. A companion of fools suffers harm. I think Solomon makes a pretty important distinction here. He says if you hang around wise people, it'll help you become wise. But he doesn't say a companion of fools turns into a fool. It says you're going to get hurt. Now, what's he talking about? He's saying that eventually a fool is, and by the way, a fool is a person who knows what's right and doesn't do it. Okay? A fool is somebody who knows what's right and doesn't do it. A companion of those people, eventually the shrapnel of the explosion that's going to happen in their life is going to hurt you. You see, some of your kids are saying, "Well, you know, yeah, so-and-so is kind of weird and this friend, blah, 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 and they believe this, but I don't believe that way. You know, they're just a friend. You know, I'm not going to be like them. I'm not going to turn out to like them." Listen, that Solomon says you're dead wrong. Solomon says the friends that you have are going to determine the quality of your life. How many know there are people who will never walk again because of this principle? Some people are dead because of this principle. They were in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. They suffer the consequences of somebody else's bad decision. So parents, let me give you a couple convictions when it comes to your kids' friends. Remember, these are not in the Bible. These are from me and perhaps the Holy Spirit. I'll let you judge. All right, here's the first one. Know your kids' friends and their families. You gotta know your kids' friends and their families. This is important. We live in a culture where 1 out of 3 children are abused sexually. This is a dangerous world that we live in. You got to know their friends, and you got to know their friends' families. You can't just send them to anybody's house, much less overnight. You got to investigate. We've had this conversation in our house so many times. We don't know those people. "Oh, they're nice, Dad. Great. Let's talk." Number two, by the way, when it comes to getting to know your friends, that means you're their friend on social media too. Oh, your kids are going to love this message, you know. You are the official creeper. It's your responsibility in their lives. Number two, encourage friendships with kids who are going the same direction you want your kids to go. That's what you want. You want to foster the type of relationships, friendships, that kids are going the same direction you want your kids to go. Now, what that means is, parents, listen closely. They need to be part of Grace Students on Wednesday night. They need to go on missions trips. They need to be in places where you want your kids are going in the right direction. That was totally free. It's my conviction. All right, friends, let's talk about screen time. Kids need boundaries for screens. Did you hear that? What's screens? Television, video games, smartphones, tablets, apps, social media, websites, texting. It's what some of you are doing right now. So if it involves an electronic screen, that's what we're calling screen time, okay? Now, we're going to devote an entire message next Sunday to social media boundaries, and how many know that's appropriate? We need to have that conversation too. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want to focus specifically on how boundaries with screen times affect our kids. There's some important information you need to know about screen time. Did you know the average age in 1970, the average age of first exposure to screens, the average age was 4 years old. Today, the average age of exposure to screens is 4 months old. How many know when Fisher-Price puts an iPad holder on the stroller, we can pretty much admit we're using screens as babysitters. It's serious business. Children under the age of 5 are spending as much as 40% of waking hours looking at screens. Kids between the ages of 8 and 18 are averaging between 8 to 11 hours per day of screen time. You know, that may not be a shock to you. After all, Pastor, we're in the information age. You know, this is the world that we live in. Yeah, but you might want to pay attention to some doctors. The American Academy of Pediatrics, here's what their recommendations are. Zero screen time under 2 years old. None. And then for 1 to 2 hours of screen time for those ages 2 to 8. How many know that'll help you decide when to give your kids a phone? You're welcome. 2 hours of screen time for those ages 8 to 18. Are there any teenagers in the house who still love me? Look at that. 2 hours of screen time. By the way, that includes texting. Why would the American Academy of Pediatrics doctors say you should set boundaries on screens? The reason is because the research is starting to show that the overexposure to screens is affecting kids physically, neurologically, and emotionally. You got to remember, the iPad came out in 2010. It's only 7 years old. So the science is just now starting to grow as people are learning about how this is affecting us. I found a study called Screen Brain. That's what I should have called this message. Screen Brain. Here's what neuroscience says technology is doing to our brain. Dr. Joshua Straub. He says there's a growing amount of research specifically showing that technology is having a negative effect on our brain's capacity to relate and to remember. We're forgetting stuff. We're overloaded with information, but the consequence is that we're training our brain to forget rather than to remember. As a result, reasoned learning is decreasing. Our ability to reason is going down. Why is everybody going ballistic on social media and on TV? Our ability to reason is going down, making us shallow and dumber. There's another mean word. Stupid, dumber. We're even dumber as a human species. So maybe I should have called the message dumb and dumber. The screens are making us stupid. And science is showing that the more time our faces are in screen, this is adults and kids, by the way, the more depressed we are, the more isolated we become, the more bored we are. Isn't that ironic? I'm bored. This is what's making you bored. According to the science, it makes us narcissistic, and less empathetic. That's what the science says. So some of us older people would remember a public service announcement on TV years ago. Remember, it said, "This is your brain." And they would take an egg, and they would break the egg and put it on a frying pan and start to sizzle, and it'd say, "This is your brain on drugs." You know, a public service announcement. I wonder what that would look like now for screen time. Maybe they scramble the egg. I don't know. It might be. Anybody remember that commercial? All the old people raise their hand. Yes, you are. You are old. Now listen, Dr. Straub, who wrote a, he actually created a curriculum called A Screen-Balanced Family. I've listed it in your notes as a resource. I just want to highly encourage everybody to check that out, especially if you have young kids and screens at your house. I think it will be, it's worth the money. You have to pay to download it. It's videos. It has some family media agreements, all kinds of good stuff on that. I highly encourage you to check it out. But he says that the screens are the strongest psychological and psychotropic drugs for kids in this culture. He said it's like a psychological and psychotropic drug. That's pretty powerful stuff. So are you saying, Pastor, that we should eliminate screens from our lives? That is not what I'm saying. I am saying you should set some boundaries around them to protect and to provide for your kids. So let me give you some convictions. Remember, convictions help us keep the commandments. So here are my convictions when it comes to screens. Ready? Number one, set a limit on the number of hours per day your kids are on screens. Set a limit on the number of hours per day. Again, the Screen Balance Family will help you navigate all of this. Number two, no screens during mealtimes. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, home, in a restaurant. How many times? You've been to the restaurant. You're walking by the table. Ain't nobody talking. Now, I want you to notice what's happening is it's actually isolating families. And it's having a negative effect on us. So no screens during mealtimes. By the way, studies show that nearly 9 out of 10 kids use technology while having dinner. Number three, no screens in your kids' bedrooms. No phones, no TVs, no laptops, no tablets. How's that popularity meter going? It's falling, right? Say, what's the big deal? Well, number one, the science is showing that it's affecting kids' sleep, which is affecting them academically. But if you have screens in their bedrooms, you're reducing their accountability when it comes to what's happening on those screens, which leads to my next conviction, number four, require accountability for all screens. Require accountability for all your kids' screens, all their platforms, all their apps. Now, I was hoping to get Dr. Straub actually here to do this message so he could say all this unpopular stuff and I could be the nice guy, but his schedule didn't work out. And so I asked him, I said, okay, I said, Josh, tell me what's the one thing that you would tell parents? What do I need to tell parents concerning screens? Here's what he said. He said, parents, if you're gonna let your kids have phones and tablets and computers, and he goes, I understand it's part of our culture. He goes, then you have to do the dirty work of paying attention and checking out those screens, doing your homework, checking the emails, connecting with them on social media. He says, if they're on Snapchat, you should be too. If they're on Instagram, you should be too. If they download an app, you should too. So that's from Dr. Straub. I happen to agree. He tells a story in Screen Balance Family how one dad, found, he was checking his middle schooler's phone and found pornography on the phone. And so when he confronted his middle schooler, the middle schooler physically attacked his dad for invading his privacy. Now let's talk for a second. I like having this conversation about at my house with my teenagers and their privacy at my house. Anybody know how this conversation goes at my house? You know, like, hey, my shoes look good on you, man. That's awesome. Let me help you out, parents. Don't fall for the myth of your kids are required to have privacy. Here's my opinion. There should be no such thing as privacy when it comes to your kids' screens. No such thing as privacy when it comes to your kids' screens. You got to remember that accountability is your friend when it comes to technology. Now, this includes TV and Netflix and movies and YouTube and any other screens that your kids are watching. And the reason is, this is not the 1950s. This is a very dangerous world that our kids are growing up in this culture. And our culture is working very hard to move God's boundaries, to remove the boundaries of God's, because the enemy comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He doesn't want you to have boundaries in your life. He wants you to offer them up on the altar of culture. And so are you paying attention? Just this last week, Disney show Star versus the Forces of Evil, for the very first time in Disney's history, featured its first same-sex kiss. And it was a cartoon, but it wasn't just one same-sex kiss. It was an entire crowd of people who were kissing. And then this week, Disney announces, after all of the promotion and after all the parents had bought their tickets to Beauty and the Beast, the new live-action movie that's coming out, then they announced this week that this movie will portray, for the first time in history, a Disney movie will have an exclusively gay moment. The character LaFalle will be the first time a Disney movie will feature an openly gay character. But again, we shouldn't be surprised, because Disney's already introduced homosexual characters on Good Luck Charlie. Nickelodeon has already done it with Loud House, and Cartoon Network did so in Clarence. Okay, you're not in Kansas anymore. We could spend hours and hours just pointing this stuff out to you, you know? And I'm saying this not to play the boogeyman, but I think, honestly, some parents just don't know. Which leads me to the next conviction. Watch what your kids are watching. And by that, I don't mean pay attention to. I mean watch it with them. Watch the cartoon with them. Play the video game with them. Watch the movie with them. You cannot assume, because it's a kids' network or because it's a cartoon, that somehow it's a safe place for your kids. It probably is not. You got to remember that what was racy and controversial a few years ago on network television is now being reruns on TV land. Anybody remember Friends? Friends comes out, the world is coming to an end. Friends is on TV. Now it's on TV land. Culture's moving God's boundaries constantly. Number 6, learn and use parental controls. Learn them, use them. The television, the Wi-Fi, set up texting limits on their phones. If you don't know how, learn how. Set parameters on your TV, on the internet. I listed 10 top 10 filters on your net, on your notes there, okay? Accountability is the most important aspect, because they need to know that somebody's watching them and somebody is watching what they're watching. Accountability is important. And I know some of you are saying, well, Pastor, no matter what I do, you know, this world that we live in, they're going to see something, they're going to hear something, you know, they might as well grow up now. Well, listen, that leads me to the next conviction, and that is, because you're probably right, we should do everything we should do, but probably they're going to see some things that you don't want them to see. They're going to hear some things that you don't want them to hear. So number 7, you need to talk to your kids about what they're seeing and hearing. You got to start a conversation at your house. Now, let me encourage you after this message. Don't go home and just start going on a rampage. You know, I want to encourage you to sit down and have a conversation with your family. Hey, let's talk about boundaries. Let's talk about what Pastor Wayne said. And remember, he's a good guy. He loves us. He loves you. All right? Have a conversation. We learned a couple of years ago, we didn't want to know this, but Josh McDowell told us that the average age that a kid is first exposed to pornography now is 5 years old. What are they going to do? What are your kids going to do when they see it? Are they going to hide it? Listen, you got to have conversations with your kids. You got to talk to them about this stuff. Ask questions and then agree on a plan going forward. Everybody said amen. All right, last boundary, spiritual boundaries. And really, this is the most important because I want you to notice that the Bible has a lot to say about parents and spiritual boundaries. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And remember, in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6, the context is the people of Israel are now out of Egypt, and they're going to the promised land. So God's giving them some rules, some boundaries to protect and provide for them. Anybody hanging with me? This is why we're calling it boundaries. He says, I'm going to give you these boundaries so that you'll be blessed. And here's what he says. He says, my goal is that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. God says, hey, the whole goal here is to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Parents, can I go ahead and tell you that's the goal for all of our kids? That they love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength? I have this conversation with my boys many times. I'm like, boys, I want you to be successful. I want you to have a great career. I want you to be blessed. I want you to have whatever you want to have. But the most important thing in your life is that you love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all your life. Because at the end of the day, I want you in heaven with me and your mom. That's the most important thing that matters. And that's what God is telling the people here in Deuteronomy. This is the goal. And so he says, this is how you do it. In verse 7, he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. He's talking about the commandments of God, the boundaries of God. And when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, you know, literally between the eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now listen, what does that mean? God is making it very clear who is responsible to teach children to love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. And it's not the church. He says, it is you, parents. Parents, listen, let me encourage you and challenge you. You are the person that God has called to make sure your kids grow up and love Jesus. You are the primary spiritual developer of your kids. You are the number one discipler of your kids. You say, Pastor, why do we have children's ministries and youth ministries and things like that? Those are to assist you. Those are there to help you. But the ultimate responsibility belongs to you. It's your responsibility. Don't abdicate that to the church. Don't abdicate that to anybody else. You, God has called you to intentionally train your kids to serve the Lord. He's chosen you. So that means we have to determine as moms and dads to lead by example at our house, to set the spiritual parameters at our homes, because how many know we want to provide clear direction for our kids of what success is? Are you hearing me? That loving God, following God is the single most important thing in their lives. And what that means is we have to live that way. So let me give you a couple convictions I hope will help you. Here's number one, have regular and intentional spiritual conversations with your kids. Regular and intentional spiritual conversations with your kids. Now, what that means is you have to do this on purpose, okay? And so some of that looks like family devotions. Some people do it at night and they read Bible stories with their kids. You can use Right Now Media, a free video service that we offer here at the church. You may turn your family into a small group. Right? And learn Bible stories and topics and issues. And as they get older, you know, pick it accordingly. But have regular spiritual conversations with your kids. That's one of the reasons we do junior Bible quiz at our church. We don't do it to win tournaments and matches. We win a few tournaments. We win a few matches. But the primary reason we do it is to give parents a tool to have spiritual conversations with their kids. So do it. Whatever it looks like, do it. And then secondly, make sure that God is first in your family schedule. Put God first in your family schedule. There should be no doubt at your house that God's number one. No doubt at your house, God is first. Listen, discipleship works this way. They will do more of what they see than what you tell them. They're going to follow your example more than your instructions. So they got to see it in us. If we make God first in our lives, it's more likely they'll do the same. Which means there should not be a negotiation on Saturday night or Sunday morning if you're going to church. Don't leave it up to negotiation. 13-year-olds are not spiritual enough to even have this conversation. All right? If they're going to choose soccer over church, they're going to choose soccer. That's why you're the parent. Part-time spiritual people raise spiritual dropouts. God has to be first. And it starts with you, it starts with me. And so let me challenge everybody. Remember, I love you, right? I said that a few times. Before we pray for parents and dedicate some babies, make sure your child does not grow up as an orphan. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm their parent, I'm talking about a spiritual orphan. Make sure your child has a parent who loves them enough to set some boundaries with their friends, with screens, spiritual life, schedules, academics. Come on, somebody. Make sure, I think there are far too many orphans in our culture because parents are just stepping back. Don't let your kid be an orphan. Now listen, you're not going to be popular at your house. Your kids' friends are going to think, some of them will think temporarily, you've gone insane. But listen, the scripture that we started with, without a vision, people perish. And I love another translation. It says, without a vision, people cast off restraints. You got to have a vision for when they're 18 and when they're 22 and when they're 30 and when they're 35. And by the way, it goes that fast. You are raising that 2-year-old and that 5-year-old and that 16-year-old. You want them to be a godly man, a godly woman, and have a vision for who they are. So I will not let you grow up as an orphan. I will be your parent. A lot of it, again, culture says, I just want to be their friend. Again, I just want to encourage blended families. You know, you probably got other parents involved who are not thinking like you, you know, and you're very unpopular. Have the courage to be a godly parent. And there will be a day, I'm going to prophesy right now, there'll be a day they'll stand in beside you in heaven and they'll say, thank you for telling me no. Thank you for guarding and protecting me. As a matter of fact, right after the service, somebody who attended the 9 o'clock service, they told me about a letter that their child wrote to them in high school because they wanted to go somewhere, you know, to a place and a certain city, and the dad said, I know what happens there, no. And the daughter wrote this scathing letter about how horrible of a dad he was to her. You're just horrible. You're the worst dad ever. And now she's married. She's got a baby. She said, I wish you'd have told me no more often than you did. You got to have a vision. Amen? If you're a parent and you have a child who is in college or younger, living at your house, would you stand? I want to pray for you. Tracy and I are in this with you. We're right there with you. This is not easy, is it, guys? It's just not easy. It's possible with God's help and God's strength. But let's pray together. Lord, we pray as moms and dads. We pray you'd help us. God, first of all, we're praying for courage. Give us the courage to set up boundaries in a culture that works hard against us. Give us courage to have a vision for the future, for their future, and to recognize that there'll be some times when people aren't going to like our decisions, but God, you've called us to be a parent. Lord, let our kids see you in us as we set boundaries because you set boundaries. Give us the courage to take the lead on the spiritual development of our kids. God, some of us feel pretty inadequate about this, but God, I pray you just help us just to have a conversation. Just get it started. God, we pray together for our children. We want them to love you with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, all their strength. God, help us to help you get them to heaven, because that's really the only thing that matters. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Would the rest of y'all give it up for these parents, because they have one of the most challenging jobs in the world. Amen. You can be seated. I'm excited today to conclude the service with baby dedications, and I'm going to invite these families to come to the front, and they're going to spread out across the front, and we're going to pray for them and give them a charge and speak a blessing. And so I'd like to invite, first of all, I'd like to invite Oakley May Carson, brought by her parents, Jeremy and Oriana Carson. Would you give it up for Jeremy, Oriana, and Oakley May? Amen. All right. Chris and Lauren Llewellyn are bringing Micah Bryn Llewellyn to be dedicated today. Would you congratulate Chris and Lauren as they come? All right. Parker and Rebecca Sanders are bringing Eliana Ruth Sanders. Congratulate Parker and Rebecca and Eliana. Okay, John and Aaron Sims are bringing Kenley Elise Sims to be dedicated. Congratulate John and Aaron and Kenley. Doesn't that screen just makes even baby dedications better? It's awesome. Okay, and then Anu and Sufi Sobti are bringing Aryan and Amriya Sobti to the Lord. So, all right, so congratulations, Annie, Anu, and Sufi. All right, and then Daniel and Kristen Taylor are bringing Maverick Ishu Taylor. This is my first dedication of a Maverick. All right, congratulations. Amen. Now, we are rejoicing with all of these families and at the gift that God has given to you in the form of these children. And the very first thing to recognize at a baby dedication like this is we're recognizing that these children are a gift from the Lord, that God has entrusted to you this child. He chose you. He chose them for you. And now he entrusts them into your care. What a powerful thing to think about. It's a gift from the Lord, yes, but it's an awesome responsibility. And so a baby dedication, it's really about a parent dedication. Parents are committing themselves to the Lord. And what you're committing yourself to, you say, with God's help, I'm going to set up boundaries. I'm going to pray for my child to serve the Lord. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to take the lead in their spiritual development. There's no way you're going to be perfect, but you're going to pray that God's going to give you grace. God's going to help you as you raise them to serve the Lord all the days of their life. And what you're doing today is exactly what Hannah did in the Old Testament and what Mary did with baby Jesus. You're simply bringing them back to the house of worship to acknowledge what God has given to you and a solemn dedication that with God's help, that you're going to guide them, that they will later in their own life accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. So if you're willing to make that commitment today and that dedication, would you say, we do? Amen. Would you turn and face your Grace family here today? Pastors are going to come and join with you today as we pray for your children today. So thank you for that. And congregation, I just want to encourage you to stretch your hands toward these moms and dads and these children that God has given to them. And pastors, make sure that you turn around so everybody can see them. All right? And stretch your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for these wonderful children that you have given to these moms and dads. And God, we pray today that your Holy Spirit would be with Jeremy and Oriana. Lord, that Oakley would grow up in serving you all the days of her life. God, we pray for Chris and Lauren. We pray that Micah will be blessed of the Lord and that your hand will be upon their life. We pray for Parker and Rebecca today. God, we pray that Ileana would be a godly woman. Lord, that she would grow up to be full of faith and courage. God, we pray for John and Aaron. We pray that Kinley would know the Lord. God, give John and Aaron wisdom as they raise this child to serve you. We pray for Anu and Sufi, God. Lord, as they raise Arian and Amariah, God, we plead the blood of Jesus on them, that you'd protect them, that your hand would be upon them. God, we pray for Daniel and Kristen as they raise Maverick, God. Let him be a maverick for Jesus. Let him serve you, God, all the days of his life. We pray, God, that each of these households will be blessed, that your hand would be upon them, God, and that you would protect them from evil. Give them insight into their kids' hearts and lives. And God, we pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will rest upon them and strengthen them and help them. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We bless these babies in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. One more time, give God praise for these families. Amen. Amen. Go with God. We love you very much. See you next Sunday.